But you started off gardening up there then for her, and what sort of things did she want done?
I started at Little Grimsby.
Oh, I see. The house she was living in, Tom's house.
That's right.
Yes, I see.
Yes, that's where I went first.
So you went from here to Grimsby?
I went from Louth to Little Grimsby, this is.
I see, yes. So you lived at Louth and you commuted in a way.
That's right. And then after a while, the two of us, the chauffeur and myself, were both of us single. And she put us into one of the estate cottages. And the woman next door looked after us as far as feeding was concerned, and we used to go next door to sleep.
So you were really part of the household?
Looking back, you know, a great life really, in many ways. Timid at times, but if you could see the amusing side of it, I mean, some of the escapades we had, remember, two young fellas, about 18, 19 years old. And, oh, we did. We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. I say we had it rough at times, but it's been worthwhile.
How did you get in touch with her? Did she put an advertisement in, or?
She put an advertisement in the local press, and I was in a market garden at the time, and looking for a change. I'd been through all the departments there. For four years. And I just applied for it, and that was it.
And did she interview you then, or what?
Yes.
What was she like when you first saw her?
Well, as I was... She had, as I say, had a fellow in there previously who hadn't quite, well, played the game. And I think she was looking for somebody who she thought might play the game, and I had a pretty good reference from the employer who I'd been working for when I made the application, and I had one or two more references which I could submit, and she accepted those, and I started there.
Was she a dominant woman or a dominating woman at all? I mean, was she rather frightening in a way to see at that time? Because you were only a young boy really then, weren't you?
Yeah, I think I'd probably be about 18. No, I wouldn't think she was as dominating. She had a mind of her own.
Mm.
There's no doubt about that.
Mm.
And, you know, once she got an idea fixed in her mind, well, this somebody could prove to her that she was wrong. I mean, she stuck to her ideas.
She was quite a big woman, wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
And she was, in fact, a Yorkshire woman, wasn't she?
She was originally Keighley, I think.
Yes, that's right. She was a school teacher, wasn't she?
That's right, yes.
And she met Tom in a Sunday school or something like that.
I think that was it, yes.
So she was, you know, not a local figure, really, except through Tom.
Through Tom, that's right, yes.
So anyway, you worked at, two or three years, did you, at Grimsby?
Little Grimsby. Oh, quite a few.
Mm.
Quite a few.
And she was quite a big woman, quite an important woman there, I suppose, wasn't she?
Yes, she did a lot of local work, county councillor and things like that.
Yes.
And then, I mean, she was on quite a few subcommittees, particularly keen on education, and particularly nursery schools.
Was she really?
I mean, at that time, things were really difficult, particularly for the working class, and she was sort of devoted to the fact that she wanted to see that these young kiddies from homes, which were living on the breadline almost, had as good a start as they could possibly get. And she was mainly responsible for starting a nursery school in Louth. And then she used to go up and down the country doing similar work, advising people, helping them out, you know, giving them advice and things like that as to how to start and organise these things.
Was she fond of children, do you think?
She was fond of them, but strange enough, she never had any of her own. No, I don't know quite how to put this. She seemed to feel, look at this, a bit of hindsight here, that she didn't want that generation of children to grow up to have to face the consequences, the circumstances that their parents had to face. Mm. That seemed to be one of her prime concerns. Mm. And she did spend a tremendous lot of her time. She was also interested in schools, education and generally, but in nursery schools particularly.
Yes, that's interesting. I think it was rather a disappointment to them that they didn't have any children. I think she wanted children.
Yeah.
But I don't think
yes.
But she was a great gardener, wasn't she? And that was your first contact with her, wasn't it?
Very, very keen on gardening she was. Really keen, particularly on the flower side. Yes.
Just sort of display flowers, really?
Yes, yes, yeah.
And did she do it herself, or did she...?
She did, when she had the time. I think she used to go out into the garden just to relax. Mm.
But when you were first working for her, did she tell you exactly what she wanted done? I mean, did she supervise you very closely?
Not particularly. I won't give her due there. I mean, I wasn't particularly old, you know, to take all of her take the full responsibility like that. But she would tell you now, I would like so and so, I'd like so and so. Or do you think that would be all right? Or could you do that? Mm. And I don't know, I suppose, being that age, I like to do my share. And the chauffeur fellow, when he wasn't driving, he used to come into the garden when he wasn't working on the car, doing anything on that, and he would give me a hand in there. And it was quite a big garden, really, the ornamental side and the vegetable side, and quite a fair-sized piece with a lot of fruit trees on it. And we had a particularly good winter weather-wise, and we dug a lot. And she was just over the moon. She'd never seen it. Couldn't do anything like that before. And I think she realised that. Somebody who is prepared to work, I'll gradually let him accept the responsibility, and that's what we did. And I mean, there was a sort of a mutual understanding grew up between us, and I don't know, I suppose that gradually developed. I got that I had quite a lot of high regard for her, and I think she trusted me, and that's fair enough for me. Mm.
So you stuck with her just as her gardener while she's at Little Grimsby. And
I did do the driving as well at Little Grimsby, but there wasn't so much of the driving side of it, seeing as she wasn't sort of involved in politics to quite the same extent as she had been, you see.
Yes, I see. Yes, yes. Anyway, she cut down, she moved from Little Grimsby to here then.
To Tingley, that's right. They had this cottage when Mr. Wintering was alive.
I see.
When they lived in Grimsby, and they used to come out here, they used to call it the Weekend Cottage. Mm. And, I think the maintenance of the Little Grimsby Hall is a fairly big place, and the grounds and things. Mm. She just didn't feel justified in being involved in that expense.
Yes,
she sold it and came to live here where...
And she brought you with her then, did she? I mean, that's why you're here.
No, not originally, because she said that she couldn't afford a full-time gardener then, so I stayed on with the people who bought the Little Grimsby Hall, and then she eventually came to live here, and I think she wrote me and she said that she had decided that seeing as she was going to be spending more time at TLB, she ought to have somebody to look after it. If I was interested, I could have the job back. And I wasn't too happy with the people who bought the Grimsby Hall, so I jumped in with both feet and came back again. It was quite a change from that big site there, but
But did she put you up on the premises, or did you have a house in the
village? I got a house in the village.
Yes, I see.
Rented it.
Yeah.
A little bit of a cottage, and then eventually moved into one of the council houses when they built one.
Yes, yes. So what did she want you to do? I mean, did she say, well, look, I want this, that, and the other down, and did leave you to it when you were up here?
More or less, and as I say, she would say, do you think this will look all right there? Do you think it will look all right there? Or, and if you had an opinion, I mean, you expressed it, and if she didn't agree with it, well, you did as she.
Mm. So she was a good employer, really, I mean.
Oh, yes.
You worked with her, sort of thing.
Oh, yes, my word, yes, you could. You could.
Yes, and you could talk to her.
Oh, and I think she appreciated the fact that you know, if I didn't agree with what she said, I used to tell her so. And I mean, finally you say, well, it's you're playing the piper, you were right to call the tune.
Yes, of course.
And she said, oh, she doesn't say, oh no, it's not that at all, she said, I just want to do what's right. Mm. And, as I say, she... she wasn't like an employer at all in many respects, she just felt that you were...
Your colleague, in a way.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I mean, if she was going away, to be away for a few weeks, and she would say, well, if anything should happen to me, my private papers are in that particular drawer. Mm.
Mm. So you really knew her very well?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I knew where the key was, and to this drawer, and I don't think everybody else did, other than only me. Mm.
It's interesting. What was she doing when she came here then? I mean, she was also doing a lot of local work and educational work and things at Little Grimsby.
She was doing similar things.
I see, yes.
Yes, that's right. She used to go to Lincoln quite a lot. Yes. Various committees there.
County things, really.
County, yes. That's right. County.
Did she sort of involve herself in Tealby life much?
She was... very interested in the Women's Institute movement.
I wondered how she got on with the villagers, you know, here, whether she was a popular figure or not.
She was popular up to a point, particularly when anybody wanted anything from her. And I think, again, she began to realise, well, she knew nearly who she could sort of take into her confidence and who was really just using what they could get out of her for their own ends. Mm. Oh yeah, she fitted in all right as far as that goes, but I mean, being a liberal, I mean, this area is, well, it was then, still is, largely conservative.
Yes.
And, you know, when there was any political issue, the fact that she was a liberal didn't quite fit in with the general political outlook of the neighbourhood.
Because to be liberal in a place like this was quite left, really, wasn't it? It was like being Labour now.
Exactly. Yes. Worse, in fact, because, I mean, Labour is now accepted in the... Well, generally, isn't it? But yes, it was. It was... You were looked upon as a bit of a...
Bit of a red.
Yes, yeah, bit of a red, that's right.
She didn't go to the church, did she? She was a Congregationalist, wasn't she?
She was a Congregationalist originally. She used to go to the church occasionally. She would go to the Louth, from here to Louth occasionally. And then, of course, she adopted this Christian Science religion. And she used to go to Louth. They had a meeting place there.
I see.
Yeah.
How did she get involved with that, you know?
I think it was largely through the contact she had with Lady Astor.
Oh, yeah.
They were very friendly. Lady Astor was the first woman MP.
Yes.
But Mrs. Whitting was the first British-born woman MP. Mm. Lady Astor being conservative and she a liberal, but they were extremely close. Mm. As a matter of fact, I think Lady Astor actually sort of indoctrinated her into the procedure in the house. Mm.
Oh, did Lady Astor actually ever come up here?
Oh, yes.
Did she?
And she used to go down there. And, oh, they were very friendly. Mm. Very friendly indeed.
Because she was a very different type of person,
oh,
lady.
Oh, yes. Yeah, a real spitfire. I've been up here once, and the local press fellow in for an interview, and I don't know, she'd been sort of telling him different things, and there was one statement she made, I forget what it was now, I was waiting for him to come down to the car, as a matter of fact, and she just said to him, now, she said, don't you dare publish that, she said, otherwise, she said, I'll shoot you. That was nearly after. And I mean, she was just that kind of a person, but Mrs. Winning was more of a steadier, not quite so impulsive, but they were very good friends. There's no doubt about
that. So Lady Astor actually came to Mrs. Winteringham's house quite a lot then,
yeah.
Did she?
Not quite a lot, but occasionally.
Occasionally,
yes.
Yes. What about drink, Mr. Smith?
Oh, she was a very, very strict teetotaler. Yeah. She wouldn't have it in the house, not even for visitors.
And would she let you have a drink? I mean.
Well, if I did. Not while I was on duty, anyway.
I wonder whether that made her popular, unpopular in the village, you see, because there'd be quite a lot of pub
Yes,
people
exactly,
here.
Yes, yeah. I don't know about making her unpopular. I think people knew her principles were against it, and that was it. They just accepted it. I think they thought, well, she's as much right to be against it as we have to be for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
It didn't sort of have a... It wasn't an important thing, anyway.
No.
Yes.
Oh, but she was very strict on that. I think she'd said she'd seen too many homes spoilt as a result of excessive drinking, that it was something that the nation could quite well do without.
Yes, well, it was, when you think of the poverty there was at that time.
Exactly,
yes. What about driving, Mrs. Smith? She was an awful driver, wasn't she?
Yes, yes. She really was. I might take hold of the wheel sometimes when she was driving. Well, I think she just sort of drove down the middle of the road and sort of thought, well, I've got half the road, but half of it's on that side and half of it's on that side.
But you drove her usually then, did you?
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
She didn't drive herself. When she did, it was pretty hair-raising, was it?
Oh, yes. She would take over sometimes. She'd think, I'll drive home now, and you just cross your fingers. All I mean, there'll be somebody probably wanting to pass and hooting behind you. Oh, say, what's that man want? Oh, he wants to come past. Well, it's just his room. Just about the room if you go on the grass. Verge. Yeah. She didn't like driving at night.
Didn't she?
No. No,
of course, she was unusual among women in driving at all at that time.
She was, wasn't she?
I mean,
yes.
Not many
yes.
women drove there.
Not many, no.
Yes.
No.
But she was cutting down costs, really, by the time she moved to Tielby, was she?
She was, and generally speaking, most people in her position were doing the same thing, you see. I mean, the social, the economic conditions were such that people just had to do it.
Yes, yes. What about help in the house? I mean, she'd amalgamated her gardener and her chauffeur in you. Did she have help in the house as well?
She'd two permanent ones at Little Rimsby, and she'd one here. And then at the height of the busy time, if she'd three or four visitors coming in, she'd have another one go in to help with the
from the village.
Yes, that's
these
right.
People
that's
being,
right. Yes.
So one would be living in.
One was living in. That's right. And then the other one used to go in just occasionally.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did she get on all right with them too? I mean, did she get a good relationship with her personal servant like that? Like she did with you.
I don't want to sound facetious about this, but. With some of them, and again, I mean, the fault wasn't all on one side either.
Mm.
I mean, and I just told you, I knew her little peculiarities, and you could just sort of guard against them or
make allowances,
compromise and things like that. But one or two of the women, they hadn't a very high regard for her, nor she for them, as it turned out.
Mm. When you say her peculiarities, what were her oddities you had to look out for, really, then?
The frequency with which she would change her mind. She'd probably make out a list in the morning for what she wanted for the meals for the day. And then she would probably go into the town market raisin and meet somebody else, probably invite somebody else, and then change them, you see. Well, if the person concerned had gone to the trouble of got a meal half ready, and then have it changed, well, it is disturbing.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, why did she do that, do you think? I mean,
I don't know.
Just rather, almost like a butterfly.
Yeah, rather than do that, oh, I think that would be nice, oh, we'll do that then.
Mm. Without thinking what it meant for her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then after all the thing was, after it would be all over, I mean, she would just go and say, oh, I'm sorry, I missed you about like that yesterday. But we just have to alter that.
What else did you have to watch out for, really, Mrs. Smith? I mean, apart from that, do you think? Because it seems odd, you know, what you're saying. I mean, you imagine somebody who goes into politics and speaks in public platforms and things like that. They're determined people, they know what they want, they're definite, you know, and there's no fuss. But she wasn't like that, then.
She was in many things, but just the odd thing. Mm. She was probably not quite so definite as she might have been.
Sort of personal arrangements, she'd change her mind.
Yes.
Was she sort of easygoing with people who weren't at her social level? I mean, you're talking about a society which was much more class conscious than we are now, wasn't it? Was she good at getting on with people at a different social level?
Oh, yes, she was. I mean, she could talk to people from the lowest level to the highest, as far as that goes. And she used to, a few minutes ago, with regard to these nursery school children, she could go talk to those parents as if they were sisters. And, you know, she would ask questions. What did her husband do? Where did they live? What was the housing conditions like? Did it leak? Had they got sanitation? Had they got hot and cold water? And things of that sort. And then, I mean, she could move to the other limit, or the other height, you know, whatever you like to call it. And, I mean, she could... Lord Lothian, for instance, I mean, she had spent a lot of time in his company.
Did she?
Yeah.
Because he was, of course, another Christian scientist, wasn't
That's
he?
That's right, yes. And another liberal peer, of course.
Mm. Yes, that's interesting. I mean, one might have thought that she would rather boss people around, you know, push them around, but it seems that she gets people's cooperation on the whole by talking to them about practical things.
Oh, she wouldn't push people around. No, I don't think she ever tried that. Persuasion rather than dictation. No, she liked people to have a mind of their own. And if it was different, as I say, different from hers, well, she respected it, but she didn't change hers for them.
No.
Or did she expect them to change theirs for her?
Was she a practical person, would you think? I mean,
not particularly. Not particularly, no. She would get a boil the kettle and boil an egg and things like that. But I think she'd been used to relying on other people doing these things for her. And I think she felt she could spend her time doing something a bit more worthwhile.
Well, I suppose she could, really, yeah, in a way, yeah, couldn't yeah, she? Because she was, I sort
yeah,
of think.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you see, I mean, when you talk about talking to the parents or the children and so on, she gets a relationship with them by talking about practical things, doesn't she, in a way? Mm, I mean,
yeah.
about day-to-day living
yes,
and that sort
yes,
of thing.
Yeah.
So I wondered, really, whether she was actually good at sort of practical things, drains or whatever, herself, or just at having ideas about them.
She had ideas about them, and as I say, she was very concerned that they should, these deprived people, they should be given a chance to enjoy some of the blessings of life, as some of the, well as the difficulties.
Mm. Mm. You say she was actually active in the Women's Institute in the village?
In the village, yes, that's
she,
right.
What did she
yes.
do? I don't know what the Women's Institute does here, or did here much. What was it active for doing?
Well, it's an association which nearly all these villages have got. You can't have one unless you're a small community. There is a limit as far as numbers are concerned. Then you get the town's women's guilds and things like that. And this is something which is in existence in the villages. And at that particular time, it was about the only women's activity there was in the village. And anybody could join it. Any female could join it, and they'd have lectures, talks, visits.
And she was a big organiser, really, wasn't she?
She was president for a few years, and then, I mean, I don't know just how long you are president, but after a while somebody else takes over, then somebody else takes over, but she still kept a membership.
Mm. Mm. Did your wife actually join it?
Yes.
So she remembers Mrs. Winteringham.
Yes.
We must ask her what she, if she would mind joining in. And,
yes.
Because it would be interesting to get a woman's angle on her.
Mm, yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. What was there anything else you had to look out for when you were dealing with her? I mean, apart from her changing her mind a bit, was there anything else you had to be careful about?
From what point of view are you?
Well, as an employee, you said that, you know, if you made allowances for her,
mm-hmm.
You know, you could get along with her, but mm-hmm. if you didn't, then, you know, like these people who worked for her, you know, they didn't hit it off, really.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they have to be careful about, apart from, you know, allowing
I don't think you have to watch out for anything else at all, as I say, as long as you... did what was expected of you, providing that was reasonable.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, she was, you were all right.
Mm. Yeah. I was really wondering whether any of the servants she had are still alive. I mean, is there anyone here who knew her quite well?
Oh, now, there was one, she's dead now, unfortunately. But again, she used to treat her like a daughter.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So when she gets the right person, she really does.
Oh,
get
yes,
into the
relationship. Oh, yes, I mean, this Ethelwee was her name, she was a really first class person from being a servant's point of view. I mean, honest as the daylight, and she understood her that. Let's put it like that. And they understood each other, and they got along like mother and daughter almost.
Mm.
She was a good person too, as Ethel.
Mm. She just was a personal servant who lived in.
That's
she?
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. But when you say she had one or two people, your predecessor, and other servants who took advantage in a way of her. Was she easily, would it be easy to take advantage of her, really?
I don't mean that necessarily the people on the domestic side taking advantage of her. I mean, people generally, she always had the feeling, sorry, not always, I think she had to just be guarded against anybody taking advantage.
Mm.
For instance, I mean, if she was having any major job done on the estate at Little Grimsby, she insisted on having an estimate for it. She wasn't going to give them a free hand.
Mm.
I suppose she had to do that because, I mean, she hadn't any husband to advise her on those thick matters, and I suppose she just sort of been cautious, careful.
Mm. As you had to, I suppose, if you were...
Well, you had at those times, in those times, I mean, because work wasn't easy to come by, and
yes.
You could get people sitting on these jobs just to the
sake of... Yes, that's right.
Something to do.
Yes. Did she drove around a lot, I suppose, to Lincoln, did she, and sort of to local meetings and that sort of thing?
Right.
So you drove her quite a bit to there.
Yeah.
Was she sort of nervous before going to these occasions? And did she say she was worried to you about...
Not many of them. Mm. I think she'd got her priorities worked out before she went. Just the odd meeting that she was a little bit apprehensive about, but not many.
Mm.
Not many.
Did she talk to you on the way, or did...
occasionally, she'd ask your opinion about a particular thing. Did she ought to mention this at the meeting, or did she ought to leave it?
Yes.
Did I think she ought to leave it? And then occasionally she would, when it was all over and she could just sort of sit back, she would just ask, how did it go? As if she'd been into the meeting.
Mm.
If you hadn't been in, she'd probably say, well, you're a bit out.
She had a sense of humour,
didn't
she?
Oh, my word,
yes.
Yes.
Come carry this copy in.
Aye, she certainly had.
And straight to little rooms of Bay Hiding.
No, I see you're both there.
Yeah.
I see. Well, well.
Yeah.
Well, do join in and talk to us about your memory, because you were also in the Women's Institute branch here.
Yes.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
I see you showed you that one of the... The one at Fotherby. You've no near.
Not yet.
Little
There's some photographs in there.
What was she like in the Women's Institute, Mrs. Smith? I mean,
a good worker.
Was
very
she?
Good, yes.
This was in the before the last war, of course, that we're talking about.
Yes.
She was president, your husband was saying, for a
time.
Yes,
she was.
Was she a good president, do you think?
Well, yes, I think so. I knew it such a long time ago, you can't. Yeah.
I wondered whether she was good at speaking or good at managing
people.
Oh,
very good
people.
At speaking, yes.
Was she?
Yes, and a very good mixer.
Was she?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, yes, she was.
Help yourself to this.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Tin, but
what did the Women's Institute do in Tielby? I mean, what sort of activities did they do at that time? That's before the last war.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you go out on outings? Or?
Oh, yes, yeah. And you see, she spent most of her time, the latter part, in Lincoln, like.
Mm, that's right. Because she moved there, didn't she?
Yeah. Mm. And then, of course, when we were first married, she spent a lot of time up in London. But,
in Parliament?
Yeah. Mm. Well, she wasn't in Parliament, was she, Les, when we... Well,
she had a flat there, didn't she?
Mm.
Yes, she had a flat in London.
Mm.
But, well, she
but there's another thing about that flat. She was going abroad, went abroad rather, and she let me take the family and the kids down there for a week.
The time of the exhibition.
Festival of Britain.
Festival of Britain.
Oh, Festival of Britain, did she really?
Yes, aye. There was five kiddies, so you and my husband and I. Oh, she was very good at doing, you know. And I mean, several people in the village, she did lots of little kindnesses for them. I bet if anybody wanted a car to go to hospital or go anywhere like that, it was always her that they went to.
Was it really? They could rely on her?
Couldn't she?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, talking a short while ago about her strong views about alcohol and things like that, I remember the landlord at the local pub here had a serious stomach complaint and they wanted him into St. Thomas's Hospital in London, but she let me take him down.
Direct in the car?
Yeah.
It was too much of a strain to go by train.
Mm.
And I went straight to the hospital with him.
Mm. So she wasn't a fanatic in any way?
Oh, no.
Mm.
No, and I mean, she did several little bits. Well, I mean, there was one young man at that time of day ill, and she allowed him bought him a pint of milk a day, you know.
Did she?
Yeah, I mean, things like that.
Little personal things.
Mm. And lots of things that nobody knew anything about.
Mm.
Only with us being in contact with her, either my husband had them to take, or...
Yeah. You knew about them, but...
We knew about them, like.
Mm. Did you actually work for her yourself?
No.
It was just your husband, then? Mm.
No. No, and she, another little bit, it was when I hadn't all the five of them then, when we were at Little Grimsby, my husband went somewhere with her, I can't just remember where it was, and she didn't like me being left on my own, so we went into the hall, put me in one of the, what you might call the guest bedrooms, and...
She's quite a thoughtful person.
Yes. She said I did not, because the place was quite isolated, wasn't it?
Mm.
And
was she interested in your children? And did she?
Oh yes, very, wasn't she?
Very.
Very interested. Mm. Yeah, and she never went anywhere abroad or anything, but what she brought them back. And she never missed a Christmas, but what she...
Yeah.
Mm. And I mean, when the twins were born, my twins, like, she was very, very good, wasn't she?
Mm.
Very good.
What, sort of helping you out with money and gifts and things like that?
Not necessarily money, but the car was put at her car, like, we hadn't one of our own in those days.
Well, very few
people
did.
Put at our disposal, like.
Was it really?
Any time it was, because I was quite ill, before they were born.
Because it wasn't an easy thing to have twins in those days.
I mean, you didn't be trotting off to antenatal clinics and things like that.
That's right.
And you see, they didn't know I were having twins while they came, so... I mean, nobody realised.
Well, a frightening business, I would have thought.
Mm.
But she sounds as though she was a very good influence in the village, really, and very useful person.
Oh, she was,
around.
Yeah.
Did she get on with the vicar and the local conservatives?
Well, she had some very good friends in the conservatives.
Did she?
Mm. I mean, she had a very good in-law, Mrs. Young, they called her. She was a conservative? Her husband was, I know, wasn't he?
I think she was liberal.
Liberal
outlook, anyway.
But she was...
Have some more of it.
Very, very good.
Is it sweet enough? It's very nice, yes. Are you not having any yourself? I mean...
No, I've got some in there.
Why didn't you join us?
I'm seated the dinner.
Thank you.
And I mean, at the time, like the twins were born, well, it wasn't really decided where I should go at the time. Anyway, I went to see the woman on the Saturday night before, and to try and fix up whether I was going there or she was coming to Tealby.
Yes.
And I never came home. I had them at Little Grimsby.
Did you?
And I mean, she was very, very good. You know, her and Mrs. Young came to see me, you know, and...
Did she take an interest in their careers, their education, your children?
Well, she did.
They were at school at that time.
You see, there, and my eldest boy went in the Navy, you see. She more or less saw him. And then Peter, helped him more or less to get into Rye's home, because he was interested in farming at that time. He's a policeman now. But still, she did interest herself in there. Of course, the three later ones, like, she didn't see much of them.
Mm.
But the two eldest, she watched their careers and things, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah. She seems a very human sort of person.
Oh, she was, very, yeah.
With a sense of humour, you were saying, Mrs. Smith.
Mm.
Did she make jokes or laugh a lot, or I mean...
Yeah, when the occasion was right.
Well, I got on all right with her. She was very, very good to me in lots of little ways.
Mm.
The same as she was to several people.
Is she remembered in Tealby now, or have they all forgotten her, really, do you think?
Well,
nearly all that generation have died, you see. There's only about one left, I think, now.
I was just looking at the house on the way. I realised I passed the house. And it's a lovely house, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Did she keep it nice, actually?
Yes.
Oh, very nice, yes. And another little kindness she did, when we left little Grimsby to come to her here, we hadn't a house at that time. There was an old one in the village, well, it was three, I think, and they were making it into one, more or less, and part of it into one. She was away and she let us go stay up at the cottage while we could get into...
Like she did at Little Grimsby, I mean, you could go in there and...
And I mean, we stayed at the cottage and used the bedrooms and things like that. I mean, little kindnesses like that, you don't forget in a hurry, do you?
No, absolutely, I agree. But in a way, you see, you knew her best, well... Yes, you knew her best, really, in a time which must have been very disappointing for her. I mean, she didn't get in these various elections.
No.
Was it? Do you think that upset her a lot? I mean, do you think she was unhappy, not being fully stretched, so to speak?
I think she was disappointed that she couldn't be a member of the Parliament. I think that would have been her ultimate ambition to become a member again.
Yes. Yes.
And I think she realised well. The general outlook in the country was conservative, so if she couldn't spend her time being a member, she would do these other local duties.
She made herself useful, but...
She was never a dull moment. She was always out somewhere.
Was she actually good at housekeeping, do you remember? I mean, she didn't have to do it for herself, of course, did she?
No.
But was she interested in the house, and did she make it nice and that sort of thing? Tealby? Or was it a bit sort of rough and unready?
Oh no.
Everything was spotless, and was if it? Anything was out of place, she knew, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
It was really comfortable up there, wasn't
it? Beautiful it was.
Was it?
Yes.
Mm. And she kept it, furnished it in a cottage style.
Sort of like chintz curtains.
Floral curtains.
Yes.
Chintz.
Covers in the...
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
flowers all over the place.
It was beautiful, really, and she had lots of, valuable knick-knacks about, that...
How did she live? Did she have lots of visitors there? Was she always entertaining people? That sort of
fairly regularly, yes. She didn't like many weekends without either somebody visiting her or her visiting somebody else. She liked company.
Did she? She's quite a sociable person,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That gives a very good picture of what she must have been like. But it's very difficult when you're a Londoner to imagine what life's like in a village like this, you know. But she really was, I suppose, quite an important person to have around in a way.
Oh, she was, yes.
Yes,
and I mean the people in the village, say Mrs. Danecourt and things like that, people like that, for all they were Tories, as you might say, they were very friendly, all of them, weren't they, lad?
Yeah, they were friendly, as I say, as far as political extreme would allow them to be friendly.
Yes. How did she spend her day? I mean, did she... And this is rather a broad question, really, but I mean, she was always doing something, was she? Mm. I mean, she didn't sit around much.
No.
Oh, no. No, and she'd usually quite a lot of writing to do.
Did
you
she?
Know.
Yes.
Mm. The early part of the time, and of course, as she got older, well, she gave up some of her committees. And
Did she take trouble over her appearance? I mean, her dresses or her... Did she use makeup and things like that, or didn't she believe in that?
She didn't believe in a lot of makeup, but she was always what I would call soberly dressed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course, she was a widow, of course, and you had to really be discreet, didn't you, about how you behaved in those days.
I mean, she did dress well, but not...
She didn't make a fuss about
no,
it?
No,
Because you're really living here now, aren't you, because of her?
I mean, yes,
you wouldn't be here otherwise, would you?
No.
No.
Oh, no, I certainly shouldn't.
No, I mean, as soon as she could get into the house, you see, she asked my husband if he would like to go come here to us, like to her, and of course we did.
Mm. Did she, how did you get into your teaching post then? Mr. Smith, and was she connected with that at all?
Well, she was extremely interested in education generally, and directive came out that food production nationally was to be given priority.
That was in the Second War, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
And there was this school at Caister, which had about 180 pupils.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
But they had a very big playing area, which they decided ought to be turned over to food production. But the authorities hadn't anybody who could or who would undertake the job of doing it. And she just asked me, would I be interested in it? Fair enough, I'll have a go. And the whole lot was under cultivation. We put the whole lot under cultivation under the year, as a matter of fact. And they got to the stage, excepting for meat production, we were supplying the canteen with all the vegetables they needed, you see, for the kids for their dinners. And I'll qualify that, not all the potatoes, but cabbage and carrot and roots and things of that sort. And I don't know, I suppose again, the thing was a success. It got rather a lot of publicity in the county, and the headmaster was always keen on the children having as good a meal as they possibly could due to the rationing conditions, you see. And, we carried on like that right through the war, and then, I don't know, I'd taken a sort of liking towards the children, and boys in particular, and the organiser at Lincoln was keen on continuing with the horticultural side in the country schools, and they said, would I like to carry on as I'd been doing, but not with the sole idea of producing stuff for the school canteen, but trying to inculcate in these lads and I all over the countryside, like.
Mm.
Just explain my position to them, and I'd had no official training. Well, the organiser said, you don't need any training if you can do what you've done here.
Mm.
So I took the RHS examination like they said they'd accept that as a qualification. I took that and I stayed on there. I stayed there until I retired.
Gave up working for Mrs. Winteringham when the war started, yeah, did you?
No, I used to do both jobs. Well, a bit of both jobs, like I used to go there so many days a week and then so many days a week here.
Mm.
And she then was getting to the stage when her public life was getting less active. And I had to make a choice as to whether I did one or the other, and...
Obviously that was opening up and the other one was closing down.
That's right. Mm. And I had a talk with the headmaster at the school yonder, and I thought, well, I told Mrs. Winteringham as well. And the both of them wanted me to go to their respective concerns, and as well, I was a bit selfish in a way. I thought, well, I've got to think of my future.
Oh, of course, yes, you've got your children as well.
That's right, yeah. And I was successful in passing the RHS examination, and the county authorities accepted that, and...
She must have been pleased in a way that you were doing so well.
I think she was. I mean, we always kept in contact.
Mm.
And it wasn't long after that she moved from Tealby to Lincoln into the close...
Yes, I see.
Cathedral,
yes.
Close there.
Yes.
As I say, her public life was drawing to a close, and her health was beginning to fail as well.
Was it? She'd always had good health, had she, while you knew her?
Remarkably good. But being a big person, she did tend to suffer from bronchitis quite a bit.
I see.
And the bouts got gradually worse. And being a Christian Scientist, she wouldn't entertain the idea of a doctor.
Mm.
She was taking these self-cure things. Mm. Well, I didn't know a lot about the religion, but it was the faith involved in it. And
Mm. What do you did that surprise you when she went in for that? I mean, does it fit? There we are. You said she was very interested in looking after her mother. I didn't realise that she had a mother who was...
Yes, she lived in Morecambe. And I think Mrs. Winteringham made herself responsible for pretty well all the major expenses regarding her mother's livelihood. And her mother was really a grand old soul, one of the most beautiful women I think I'd ever known. She was just full of appreciation for anything that anybody did. And I think if anybody was at peace with the world, she was one of the people who really were. And she was really grand. And her sister lived there as well.
You mean,
Mrs. Winteringham's sister.
I see, yes, did she?
Lived at Morecambe as well.
Mm.
And she had two children. And she was very interested in the their future as well. One of them, unfortunately, he's dead now, but he was an absolute genius as far as intellect was concerned.
Mm.
And the other one, she's a school teacher now, and I don't know if she's married. I've not seen her, because my sister, both her sisters died, as a matter of fact, and I lost touch with them after that, you see.
So there's another niece, then, is there?
There's two.
Oh, really?
The Barkers.
Where do they live, actually? And that might be to get hold of them, perhaps.
now then.
I mean, if concern for her mother and her sister.
Yes.
They actually lived in Tealby then, did they?
Morecambe.
The mother and sister for a time.
Morecambe.
In Morecambe, I see. Yes. But the mother came to live here, did she? Or?
No.
Oh,
no.
I see. Just,
if
just
she came on a visit.
I see.
She. Often came, didn't she?
Oh, she could.
Mrs. Longbottom.
That was her name, Longbottom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. very, very nice person.
Yes, your husband was saying
that. Yes, and she never came here, like, but what she came down the village to see me.
But was Mrs. Winchingham like her mother, do you think? Does she resemble her mother at all?
From what point of view?
Well, you say she was a very peaceful person, at peace with the world, I think your expression was. Was she like that, or was Mrs. Winchingham more a restless sort of person?
Oh, yes, I mean, she liked to be more involved.
Her
mother,
more active.
Her mother was just sort of content. Let the world go by and...
I see, yes. Go with Mrs. Winchingham wanted to change the world.
Yes.
I asked your husband whether there was anything else about Mrs. Winchingham that I ought to ask him, and he said you must point out how good she was to her mother.
Yes.
How nice woman she was.
Yeah.
So that better. So she's good to her relatives as well as
she was,
to her neighbours.
She was, yes.
Oh, yes.
Who worked for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's a useful one. Her father presumably died earlier, had he?
Yes, we never knew him.
No, I didn't know him at all.
Anything else you think I ought to bring out, Mr. Smith, before I switch off?
I don't... what are you...
Just trying to get an overall picture of what she was like as a personality and how she lived, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody's ever written a biography of her, and somebody ought to collect all the information before it's too late, you know?
Oh, yes, I think so, yeah.
You went to see her actually in the hospital, did you? I mean, that must have been a bit grim, really, wasn't it? Because you've seen her so fit and so on. But she got bronchitis, your husband was saying.
Yes.
Got worse and worse, sort of thing. Without anyone being allowed to help her, I suppose. Extraordinary business, isn't it?
Well, it was actually a nursing home she'd gone into. She wouldn't go into a hospital. I mean, Christian Science really wouldn't sort of tolerate that.
Did you? So it's not, isn't it? How people are when they're ill or in hospital, it's not them, it's somebody else in a way, isn't it? I mean, she must have been very different at that time than she was when you knew her.
Oh, I think she realised that, that she'd had a good innings and you wanted to just spend the few days she had left, a few weeks, months probably, as peaceful as she possibly could.
Because she had, in a way, she had a very disappointing life, didn't she? I mean, she starts off very happily married and with this rather... plenty of money and so on, very successful in politics. I mean, she was very much admired, respected.
You see, there's no family.
No. And then, with no family, defeated at the elections, less and less money,
losing her husband,
more and more ill.
Yeah.
Things get worse. She goes down, doesn't she, after that high peak in her early life.
Yes.
And it must have been a shock to her as well, I mean, to lose her husband at that age.
Yes. Yes.
And as suddenly as that, I mean, he just simply collapsed in the house and died, and that was it.
And in a way, being in politics was a distraction for her, a compensation in a way. And then when she got defeated in politics, that must have brought fully home to her the fact she'd lost her husband and, it all comes home, doesn't it, then?
Quite.
Well, that's most helpful. I can see...